Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing the NBA postseason awards recap. I'll go through all the awards that were won. I'll give you my opinions. You know how I do it, so we'll do that. Also, some other news, coaching news, Frank Vogel out, and there's Mike Budenholzer. We'll talk about that. Steve Clifford, he goes upstairs for the Hornets, and they hire Charles Lee. We'll talk about that as well. Pat Bev gets suspended. Draymond, oh, I got some heat for Draymond. And also Shaquille O'Neal, I got to take him to task too. So, and a lot more. So we'll get into it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD. Once again, back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And we got a packed show today, guys. I'm going to do the postseason awards. I'm going to recap all the awards that were won. We'll talk about that. Also, some coaching news in the NBA. We'll touch on that. Pat Bev, he gets suspended for his antics. We'll talk about that. Draymond, oh, Draymond. Oh, you came for my Knicks. I'm coming for you. So we'll deal with that. Shaquille O'Neal kind of puts his foot in his mouth. We'll talk about that as well. And other news also. And of course, I got a little heat for Stephen A as well. So we'll talk about all of that right about now. So we're going to start with the NBA postseason awards. All the hardware has been given out. So I will go around and we'll talk about each one. Let's start with the first award given, the most improved player. This one I thought was a fait accompli. Tyrese Maxey for the Philadelphia 76ers. He had a fantastic year, guys. Career highs in points, assists, rebounds, and even steals. And he didn't mind you playing only over two more minutes than he normally plays. So, I mean, he really stepped his game up. And he had a fantastic year. So definitely kudos to the young man. It looks like he's part of that foundation over there with the Sixers. They need to do the wise thing, lock him in, because this kid's got star written all over him. And he won it over the likes of Kobe White for the Chicago Bulls and Alperen Sengun. I gave you my spiel about Sengun. I thought you could have considered Dante DiVincenzo, then they had some backdoor rule and whatever the case was. But nonetheless, none of them were getting it over Maxey. So I'm just talking to kind of big up my guys. But Maxey, well-deserved, props to him. Sixth man of the year. This one, I was kind of shocked, but I'm like, okay, fine. Naz Reid for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He had career highs in points and rebounds. He played in 81 games, guys. He came off the bench in 67 of them. So, you know, he qualifies. So I have no issue with that. It's just my thing is I think Bobby Portis gets overlooked. It happened last year, and then it happens this year again. He's one of the most valuable sixth man coming off the bench, especially given light that a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, you have to kind of manage his injuries. So you bring in a guy like Portis and he's able to kind of fill the role. I wouldn't say totally fill it, but he's able to do definitely a good job filling in for Giannis. So I just think he gets robbed in that regard, because also too, Malik Monk, he came in second. So, and Malik Monk, he had a fine year coming off the bench. I'll grant you that, but I just think Portis kind of gets overlooked. That's all I'll say to that. But congrats to Naz Reid. He gets it and he's balling right now for his Minnesota Timberwolves. So props to him. Clutch player of the year, I didn't really go into that because the numbers kind of bears itself out when everything is said and done. And it goes to Steph Curry. Why? because he was first in clutch points, first in clutch field goals made, and first in clutch three-pointers. So when it's like that, who can argue? The numbers are the numbers. So Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, he walks away with that award, and he gets it over the likes of DeMar DeRozan and also a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. So Steph Curry, one more trophy to add on the mantle for him. Coach of the Year. Again, this was one I saw a mile away. Mark Daigneault and the terrific job he's doing with the Oklahoma City Thunder. One of the youngest teams to ever finish first in their conference. So that just tells you the kind of job he's done. So he wins the award, and rightfully so, over the likes of a Jamal Mosley. I think any other year, Jamal Mosley might have got it. And also Chris Finch, too, has done a fine job as well, given what he's had to deal with in Minnesota. Remember Karl Anthony Towns. He missed some time down the stretch, so I thought that could have hindered their chances, but he kept the ship going in the right direction, guys. So they were only a game off from first place. I mean, when it's like that, you got to give the coach credit there. So Chris Finch finishes third in that regard. So Mike Daigneault wins the award. Again, rightfully so, the bang-up job he's done this year. Executive of the Year. I didn't really talk about that one, guys, but it goes to Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics. And, you know, the reason why, of course, he made the trade for Kristaps Porzingis and also Drew Holiday. And then also, too, he had the mind to lock in a guy like Jaylen Brown, lock him in full-time. So with all of that, he gets the award. And this one is more of his peers that votes for this. So, you know, you can say what you want, but I guess this award has more credence to it, if you want to think of it that way. And he gets it over the likes of Sam Presti for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I think is more of a cumulative job that he's done over there as opposed to what he's done this year, because he already had Holmgren in the fold already. He has all his guys. Only trade he really made was for Gordon Hayward. So I think it's more cumulative than anything. But Sam Presti and over the likes of a Tim Connolly for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And even with him, that's, to me, that's more cumulative than anything else. But in fourth, Leon Rose for the New York Knicks. I think he should have been higher, I can tell you that, because look at what he's had to deal with as far as the Knicks go. All the injuries, all the trades that he made, shuffling the guys in and out. So I think Rose could have been higher. Should he have gotten it over Brad Stevens? Probably not, but I thought he should have been closer in the race. Let me just say that. So Brad Stevens gets the Executive of the Year, and kudos to him. Hustle Award. I even know about this one. The Hustle Award goes to Alex Caruso of the Chicago Bulls, and they even have stats to back it up, guys. He's number one in deflection and loose balls received, and he's also seventh in charges drawn. So, you know, these analytic guys, they got numbers for everything. What can you do? So he ends up getting the award. This award has been around 8 years, guys. 8 years. I don't know why I'm just talking about it now, but, and then of that, those 8 years, Marcus Smart of the Boston, when he was with the Boston Celtics, won it three times. So I'm like, wow. And then he's also the second Bull to win this award, the other being Thaddeus Young. So Alex Caruso gets it over the likes of Scotty Barnes and the rookie for Golden State Warriors, Brandon Podziemski. So Alex Caruso gets the Hustle Award. Kudos to him. Rookie of the Year. This one, I told you guys, you know, I wasn't speaking out of turn when I say Victor Wembanyama is the rightful person to get this award for the San Antonio Spurs. And guys, he's the first unanimous winner since Karl Anthony Towns in the 2015-16 season. So Victor Wembanyama definitely in the rarefied air sort of category for him. And also, too, he's the second rookie to lead the league in blocks, the other being Manute Bol. Manute Bol, remember that name, guys? 7'6" out of Africa. Yes, Manute Bol. And also, he's the first French player to win this award. First French player, wow. And he is the 18th first overall pick to win this award. So when you're the overall guy, your chances are pretty good of you winning this award if you, you know, play to your expectations. And he gets it over the likes of Chet Holmgren. I actually went back and forth with somebody on social media saying that Chet Holmgren got robbed. I don't know what planet you're on to think that, but. And then also he got it over the likes of Brandon Miller for the Charlotte Hornets and Holmgren for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So there you go. Congrats to Wemby for getting the award. Defensive Player of the Year. This one I called as well, guys. Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. He's with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And he's the anchor of the top defense in the league. He is, again, I gave you the numbers. He's the top player in defensive rating and defensive win shares. And he turns the blocks. He finished sixth in the league. And also, too, the fact that he's a four-time winner, guys. So you're talking about only two other people won it that many times. Dikembe Mutombo and Ben Wallace. So you're talking about, and those two guys are in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, a lot of people like to take shots at Rudy Gobert. Oh, by the way, they had that players poll and he's one of the least liked players. I don't understand why the guy just comes. He comes to play. You still want to get on him for when COVID hit and he was touching the mics. Okay, that happened like four years ago. We're still holding that over his head. I mean, come on. And then also in that players poll, Tom Thibodeau was the least, the players that they least wanted to play for Tom Thibodeau. And I love Big Perk. Kendrick Perkins just, he said, the league is soft because nobody wants to be coached hard. And I agree with him there. So much for the players poll. It was other stuff on there, but those two things stuck out for me. But in any event, Rudy Gobert gets it, and it's well deserved. It's over Victor Wembanyama, who he finished second. It was a close second, but he got substantial votes, and then Bam Adebayo in third. So kudos to Rudy Gobert. I'll touch on him in a minute. I have some news items on him. I'll talk about that. The MVP award, the one that always seems to draw the most controversy, the most talk talked about award, and rightfully so. So this year it goes to the Joker, Nikolai Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. He is the ninth player, guys, to win three or more MVPs in the league. And I'll give you those names. Kareem with the most with six. Michael Jordan and Bill Russell has five apiece. Wilt Chamberlain and LeBron James each have four. And then you have three players that have three of these awards. Now it'll be four with the Joker, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Moses Malone. So you're talking about Hall of Famers that has won this prestigious award many times. So that's the company that Nikolai Jokic is in. And he gets it over the likes of Luka Doncic, who came in third, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who came in second. Person who I thought should have won it, but did not. So, but I was listening to TNT, and Charles Barkley said, you could have gave it to five guys and not got too much of an argument. The other two he mentioned was Jalen Brunson, and the fourth player he mentioned was Jason Tatum that he mentioned. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so he said you could have gave it to a number of guys and you wouldn't have had too much of an argument. Shaquille O'Neal, he voiced his disapproval right there on the show. He thought Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should have got it. He said that, you know, he empathized with him because he's been a guy who's been robbed of the award and so on and so forth. And then he didn't just leave it there, guys. You know, on TNT, after the award is announced, they usually interview the person who got the award. So in comes Nikolai Jokic, who they talked to after award. And then Shaquille O'Neal, you know, he starts with, I love you, but I thought it should have went to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That, to me, you didn't have to go there. You didn't have to go there. And to me, it was stepping on the young man's moment when you do it that way, Shaq. So I got to chide you for that, Shaq. And then so much so that the guys on Nightcap, well, I should say the guys, but on Nightcap Wednesday night, it was, of course, Unk, Shannon Sharp, Chad Ochocinco, and Gilbert Arenas joins on Wednesday nights to talk about NBA sort of stuff and all that. And on there, they talked about Nikolai Jokic getting the award, and the subject of Shaquille O'Neal came up, and Shannon Sharp pretty much said he could have had multiple MVPs if he had worked harder, if he, you know, applied himself to the craft, which is a mission that Shaquille O'Neal has made on many occasions, including in that sit down he had with Kobe Bryant, you know, that special where they kind of cleared the air, their differences. So this is not something that Shannon Sharp got out of the clear blue sky. Shaq has admitted it himself. And the next night on Nightcap, Shaquille O'Neal goes on social media or wherever he goes, and he makes a statement saying, basically to kind of ridicule Shannon Sharp for making that statement. Shannon Sharp only said that because you admitted it. So he's just reiterating a point that you made, Shaq. So I thought it was kind of wrong for you to go there. But I think underneath that was they were actually talking about his ex-wife, that she wrote this book, I guess. And in it, she talked about their relationship, how she loved him, but wasn't in love with him. And they, you know, so Unk and Ocho Cinco were talking about that subject on the show. So I think it was more because of that and not because of what he said the night before about Shaquille O'Neal and his abilities. So, Shaq went after him, said he's not considered the top and this and that and so forth. Here's the problem, Shaq. You were the first pick overall in your sport. Shannon Sharp was the seventh round pick in his draft. So he was somebody everybody counted out. But because of his work ethic and way he applied himself, he worked to become a Hall of Fame player. Shaq, you're wrong for that. You're wrong to go at the man for that, for something you've admitted to time and time again. So I think it was a byproduct of them talking about his ex-wife more than what he said on the Wednesday show with Ocho and Arenas there. That's my opinion. I could be wrong on that. We'll see. So I just had to call out Shaq for that bit of business there. So with that said, let us move on. A couple of more here and then we'll move on to other news. Social justice champion. This one they name after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And this one goes to Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And this is for his work that he does off the court, his advocacy for voting rights for the incarcerated and also criminal justice reform. Sorry. And actually, he had a hand in a bill going forth in the state of Minnesota where the incarcerated got their voting rights restored. So big ups to him for that. He also provided funding for director Ava DuVernay. She did a docufilm on reading banned books for young people. So he funded that as well. So he's done a number of things. He has his foundation and so forth. So he's doing a lot of work, guys, in the community and in the state of Minnesota. So big ups to Karl Anthony Towns for getting this Social Justice Champion Award. And then also, and he won it over the likes of C.J. McCollum, Bam Adebayo, Russell Westbrook, and then a guy, Lindy Waters III, he's with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, and then the last one, Teammate of the Year. They named this one after Jack Twyman and Maurice Stokes. And this goes to Mike Connolly of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So Minnesota here getting a lot of hardware in the postseason. So Mike Connolly is one of these guys that if you're a teammate of his, you love him. He's a guy that will go to bat for you. He's a guy that's welcoming in the locker room. He's one of those type of guys. And he's such a great guy on the court. The man doesn't even have a technical foul in his career. That's even referees talk about how great a guy he is. So, you know, referees don't really talk about players much. They talk about him. So Mike Connolly, teammate of the year, no surprise, and kudos to him. All right, guys. So that is the postseason awards. Let me get to this other bit of news that I have here. We'll start with coaching. The Phoenix Suns. So the owner over there, Matt Ishbia, he's one of those guys. He seemed like he's a guy who's got to have his hands in everything. So I guess he wasn't happy with Frank Vogel and what he did in his first season. So he's out after one season. Frank Vogel out as coach of the Phoenix Suns. Mind you, bear this in mind. They finished 49-33, six in the West. They did get swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves in the playoffs. But you got to take it to mind this. The big three that they have, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant, they missed a combined 50 games. 50 games combined, they missed. So, I mean, you got to give Frank Vogel some grace here and not let him go after one season. I don't get that. But it is what it is. So Frank Vogel is out as the coach. In comes Mike Budenholzer, a Arizona native, by the way. Mike Budenholzer, a two-time coach of the year. He's won a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks. He's been 17 years as an assistant coach for under the great Greg Popovich with San Antonio. His overall record, 484 wins, 317 losses. That gives him a win percentage over 60%. He spent 5 years with Atlanta, 5 years with Milwaukee. And he's getting, guys, a contract 5 years, over $50 million. So talking about some big money here for Mike Budenholzer. So we'll see what happens there. I guess you're going to have to figure out this big three that you have. Do you split that up? I don't know. I guess they're going to stay pat with the big three that they have and build around them. So we'll see what happens. But Mike Budenholzer is a guy who demands his team to play defense, to play smart. So it'll be a interesting fit here, that's for sure. So Mike Budenholzer in as the Phoenix Suns coach. Then we head to Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets. Steve Clifford, he resigns and moves to the front office. So he goes upstairs, guys. His total 7 seasons with Charlotte, whether it be with the Bobcats or the Hornets, he has a 244-330 record. He's only had 2 seasons where he was over 500, guys. And then last year, they finished 21-61. Not good at all, towards the bottom in that division, in that conference, rather. So in comes Charles Lee, a longtime assistant. He's been an assistant 10 years with the likes of the Atlanta Hawks, Milwaukee Bucks, and just last year with the Boston Celtics. They're giving him a 4-year deal, guys. So he's got some longevity in that regard. And he's going to have to figure it out with the likes of a LaMelo Ball, who, guys, I've mentioned, you know, his injury history hasn't been good. A young player in Brandon Miller, a young big man in Mark Williams. And then you have to figure out, too, what you're going to do with a Miles Bridges, who's an unrestricted free agent. So a lot to figure out over there with the Hornets. And we'll see if Charles Lee is up to the task, and he's got major work ahead of him. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let us move on. That's the coaching news that I had to mention. Patrick Beverley. Suspended 4 games, guys, for throwing a ball at a fan. He did that towards the end of the series there that they had with the Indiana Pacers, him playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, and then also inappropriate interaction with a reporter for CNN. I'm blanking on the name, but yeah, his interaction with her, not good. He pretty much blew her off and stopped answering questions that she had posed to him. And then also along with that, he is banned from making personal appearances on ESPN, because if you guys remember, he used to show up on shows like First Take and then Get Up. He'll show up there as well. That's not happening, guys. So Patrick Beverley, again, I say, I'm not even sure if he's in a Milwaukee Buck uniform for next year. That's what I'm thinking there is in that regard. I don't know if they'll bring him back. Does he come back in some capacity? Who knows? But if he does, he's got to sit the first four games because of that suspension. So that's your Patrick Beverley news. Draymond Green. Oh, I've been itching to talk about this one, guys. On his podcast, remember, guys, he has a lot of free time on his hands due to his Golden State Warriors not making the playoffs. They got knocked out in the play-in. So he's got a lot of time on his hands. So of course, he gets behind a mic like I'm doing, and he just talks about the playoffs, something that he's not a part of. Let me make that clear. So he's taken the time these past couple of episodes to talk about the Knicks. First, he says he questions if Jalen Brunson can take them to the promised land, take them all the way to a NBA finals or so forth. All right. So he questions that. But he's balling. The man is balling right now. So, and he's mentioned that. So I'll cut that loose. But this is what I can't cut loose. The fact that he picked the 76ers over the Knicks and agreeing with Paul Reed when he said the Knicks are the easier route to go through as opposed to Boston. And, you know, that the numbers bear that out fine. But it wasn't easy for them because they're now packing up and going to Cancun. So, so much for being easy. But in any events, so he picked the 76ers. So you already know he has no regard for the New York Knicks whatsoever. And he's been like that in the past. He's made little sly remarks about the Knicks in the past. So now he brings on this Knicks fan. I'm not sure who it is. I wish I'd delve into it further, but he brings on this diehard Knicks fan on his show. And he tells that fan that the Knicks run right now is a fluke. He says it's reminiscent of the 2021-22 Atlanta Hawks, where they had the great showing. Then the next few Lakers, they haven't done much. And he also equated it to the 2018-19 Blazers that made a run to the conference finals with the likes of a Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, and not much else. And he said it'll be like that. And then Stephen A. Smith, he goes and says he wasn't happy with what Draymond said, but he has a right to say it because of his championship pedigree and winning the four championships and so forth. Let me start with Draymond first. Draymond, and I mentioned this when I was talking about the wrap-up of the Warriors season. Draymond, you know why you have a lot of time on your hands? And he basically said on this podcast, I have nothing else to do. You want to know why you have nothing else to do, Draymond? You want to know why? Because you let your team down this year. When you laid hands on Rudy Gobert, putting him in the headlock, when you swung around and hit Joseph Nurkic, thus getting suspended indefinitely. So, Draymond, those 25 games, and not to mention the one game where you went at it with a referee over a call, and you couldn't let it go. You had to keep going, and you got yourself ejected from that game. Thankfully, they won the game, but Draymond, you should be the last one talking right now. You should be easy with your thing. But no, you got to go up there. And I actually agree with the guy he had on the the Knicks fan who says Knicks for clicks. And that's what it is. To talk ill about the Knicks is in vogue these days. You hear it on TNT. Shaquille O'Neal, who has an axe to grind with the Knicks. It seemed like I'm on Shaquille this show, but he has an axe to grind with the Knicks and he can't let it go. So he'll pick against them. Barkley, he was reckless with his mouth lately. Talk about the only thing good about New York is the street meat. But he's still sore because the Knicks have kicked his butt in the playoffs many times. So we could go there with that. But my ire is steered towards Draymond. Draymond, you let your team down. That's why you have nothing else better to do. Now you have your podcast. You can sit up there and talk ill of the Knicks. You could have been on the court if you had behaved yourself and put your anger in check. But no, you got your free time now to go after my Knicks. And I got beef with you. And oh, by the way, everyone wants to talk about the Knicks run being a fluke. And even the Odd Couple joined in on the nonsense, saying that, oh, it's a fugazi run because of all the injuries that's taking place with Giannis for the Milwaukee Bucks and to a lesser extent, Dame Lillard. Then he talked about also Embiid not being completely healthy. Then he also talked about Jimmy Butler, him not being healthy. And he had the nerve to say if he was healthy, he would have knocked off Boston and the Knicks. His general manager and part owner, Pat Riley, had to take him to task saying, if you're not on the court, shut your mouth. And kudos to Riley for setting him straight like that. But I say all that to say nobody's talking about the Knicks injuries. No one's talking about you're missing the all-star guys, Julius Randle, who's missed half of the season, just about a little more than half of the season. You're missing the all-star and they're still doing these things. You missed Mitchell Robinson, who missed three quarters of the season. And then now he's out in the playoffs. So they had to overcome two starters going down. And then also remember, too, you started out with Quentin Grimes, but you end up switching over to DiVincenzo. So you had to deal with that. And DiVincenzo's been playing great. So all this the Knicks had to deal with. Then they had two trades on the top of it that you had to work into the mix. OG Anunoby, along with Precious Achiuwa, you had to work those guys in. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic, who, by the way, he's out now, so you're missing another guy. And Alex Burks, you had to work those guys in. So I don't want to hear anybody talk about the injury bug helping the Knicks. The Knicks are helping themselves because they're dealing with injuries. So talk to me about that. You can miss me with this nonsense, guys. I have enough of it. You want to chide the Knicks for overachieving. That's what they're doing. They're overachieving with the roster that they have. They should be getting credit instead of this nonsense about it's a fluke. Wake up and smell the coffee. That's all I'm going to say with that. But everybody's quick to talk about everybody else's injuries, but the Knicks injuries, we don't talk about that. Nonsense, utter nonsense, and a disgrace. Anyway, so I'm going to leave it alone. And Stephen A. Smith, Stephen A. Smith, I am so sick of you treating Draymond with kid gloves. I am so sick of it. Oh, I'm so disappointed in what he said, but he has a right. Come on, man. Get some kahunas, man. Come on. He's wrong for that, and you should have mentioned the injuries that I'm talking about, the injuries that the Knicks had to overcome. But no, you want to coddle up to Draymond. Oh, you even seen it with the suspension. Again, he says, I don't want to say he has an anger issue because it paints. Nah, he has an anger issue. Let's be straight about that. Come on, that's the problem. That's the problem with everybody giving Draymond a pass. And you're one of them. And only you let me talk about your Nick fandom. It's we can go there, but we not. But shout out to, again, to shows like Nick Fan TV, CP the Franchise, and those guys over there for kicking the reel. They had Kendrick Perkins on there, and Kendrick Perkins was trying to apologize for Stephen A. Oh, he's a real fan, but, you know, cut him some slack. And CP wasn't feeling that. Let's just put it that way. So in any event, so I'll save that Stephen A. Nick Fan talk for another day. But you're wrong, Stephen A. You should have called out Draymond instead of soft shoeing it. If it was somebody else, if it was Russell Westbrook, you'd go hard at him. If it was Kyrie Irving, you'd go hard at him. Draymond gets a pass, miss me with that. All right, so I'm going to leave that alone, guys. All right, let's move on to the next thing. Rudy Gobert misses game two, guys, in the Denver-Minnesota series that's going on right now. Of course, I'll give you a recap later. And he missed it because his wife was giving birth to their first child. And Gilbert Arenas, of course, I got to mention him. He takes him to task for missing that game. He said, oh, the baby's going to be there. The wife is going to be there. You go out there and play. Here's my thing with that. If Rudy Gobert gets the okay from his teammates and from the front office to do so, go be with your wife. Go be with your family. That's the way I see it. Oh, what if it was the finals or it was the Super Bowl? That's a decision he has to make between his team and his teammates. If they're okay with it, I'm okay with it. That's the way I see it. For you, Gilbert Arenas, who doesn't even know what the second round of the playoffs look like, but that's a story for another day, you can miss me with that too. So if the team is okay with it, his teammates are okay with it, I'm good. So we'll just leave it there. But congratulations to the Goberts for the first child. It was a son. So congrats to you guys. May he be a healthy, bouncing baby boy. And all the best to you. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he turns down a shoe deal with Adidas because they didn't allow him to bring his brother on for his own deal. So his brother Giannis. So he said, you know what, Adidas, I'm good. If you can't put my brother on, I'll pass. And then a lot of people want to criticize him for, you know, the way he has his brother, you know, on the team and so forth, where he has the power to have him on there. You know what? And then Barkley, he says his brother's job is more secure than a Supreme Court justice, which I think that's going a bit too far. But here's what I will say. I have brothers, a brother and I. If my brother was a star player, because he was very good in his day, and I was marginal, I think my brother would do the same thing that Giannis has done. I think he would do similar, because that's the kind of bond we have, and he knows I would look out for him in other ways and so forth. So it's kind of Giannis paying it forward for his brother, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it. You know, people want to say this and say that. There's nepotism in the corporate field. There's nepotism in other places, so it's not okay for nepotism in basketball. What are we doing here? So if he's going hard for his brother like that, have at it. I'm not going to charge you for that. So I'll just leave it there. That's my opinion. And then the last thing, Glenn Big Baby Davis to face 40 months in jail, guys, forget this, filing false claims to the NBA health and welfare plan. That's for former players. And he's been convicted of healthcare fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy to make false statements, and conspiracy to commit healthcare and wire fraud. And he's part of 20 players who were caught up in this scheme. Wow. This is a bombshell, guys. And add to his 40 months in jail, 3 years of supervised release. So after gets out of prison, he's 3 years, he's got to be supervised while he's out. And he has to pay $80,000 in restitution. Boy, they came down hard on him for this one. And he goes on, I think it was Instagram Live, he kind of made light of it. Oh, I could go to jail, I could get swole now. And somebody say, you got to laugh to keep from crying. But yeah, this is a big one, guys. And then the former players, among them is Terrence Williams, Keon Dooling, and Will Bynum. That's amongst the 20. So this is not good, guys. This is not good. And this makes it look bad for other guys who's actually using the system for good. So he's made claims about procedures that he didn't get done, dental work that he didn't get done. So all of that, and it was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that he defrauded from this benefit plan here. That's not good, guys. And shame on you, Big Baby, for having to go this route. This is just bad. So, you know, hopefully with his time there in jail, he can think about what he's done and, you know, pay his debt to society and come out with a different frame of mind than, you know, the one where he's just joking about his situation and being serious about it. So we hope the best for Big Baby. Hope he learns from this. This is not good at all. But so we'll see what happens. All right, guys. So that is it for this show. The next time you hear from me, guys, WNBA, the season's about to begin. I'm gonna give you my season preview, and I got some other WNBA news to go along with that. So that'll be the next episode, guys. All right. So on that note, I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. You can go there, support me on there. I got several buttons you can use to support. Buy me a coffee. PayPal button is there, and my Spotify button as well. You can support the podcast that way. Cash App me, $GD, that sports dude. That's another way to send money to keep this show going, guys. Also, too, I'm on all platforms, YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. That's my handle there. IG, I'm on there a lot. Facebook, I have my page there also. TikTok, I go there for my videos. X, Twitter, you know the deal. Whatever. Anyway, so I thank you for listening as always. I appreciate your listenership, guys. You are the reason I keep going with this, because you want this content, you want the real, so I keep giving it to you, all right? On that note, I thank you for listening as always. Deuces.